Take advantage of that lull in the chatter to call our meeting to order, and our first order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance. So if everyone will stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And then next, I'll ask Mr. Foss to call the roll, please.
Chair Mills.
Here.
Chair Kenneson Lee.
Here.
Commissioner Ernest.
Present.
Commissioner Dorlett.
Here.
Commissioner Lopez.
Present.
Commissioner Matsumoto.
Here.
Commissioner Yancey.
Here.
Student Commissioner Mollerett.
Here.
So then under item 4, special items and announcements, do we have anything specific under 4.1? No. Okay. So 4.2 is our 2015-16 committee and liaison assignments. And is this just here, Esther, for information, or do we need to do anything affirmative on that?
It's information.
Okay. So hopefully everybody's happy. Okay. All right, great. Then my work here is done. So then we'll move on to 4.3, which is the Temporary Employee of the Month. And Esther Lucas, Division Manager, will do that presentation for us.
Yes, Mike Finelli, Facility Supervisor, will provide the report.
Thank you. As Esther mentioned, I'm Mike Finelli, Facilities Supervisor. And this is James Spiegelvogel. And James was selected as our Temporary Employee of the Month for the month of August. And I have a report, but I'll try to go off cuff here because I know so much about this guy. He's been a jack of all trades for us. He's worked at all of our facilities, doing building attendant work. Recently, we've elevated him to a temporary position, acting as a rec tech. When we had a vacancy over at the senior center, James dove right in. He was outstanding, embraced the new responsibilities. He learned the software that we used to book rentals. He worked excellent with customers, but most importantly, his personality and the way he treats all of his coworkers and customers. It's contagious at the building. So he's an asset to us, and I'm pleased to announced that he was the Employee of the Month for the month of August.
Just want to thank all my advocates and, everyone who's been rooting for me since I started here, especially this guy right here, took a chance on me. And, everyone in Parks, Becky, Jessica, Kevin, and, of course, Mike. That's it. Thank you. Thank you all.
So we actually have a certificate for you, James, and then also a special surprise gift.
Thank you so much.
In the box. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You do the city much honor, and we're very proud of your service.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, worth it.
Item 5 is public comment or written communication. At this time, those in the audience are encouraged to address the Parks and Community Services Commission on any item not already included on today's agenda. If possible, comments should not exceed 5 minutes. If this is not considered sufficient time to address the issue, please arrange with the secretary to have that item placed on the agenda for a future commission meeting. And I don't have any cards for public comment, so it looks like we don't have any public comment tonight. So then we'll move on to item 6, which is approval of our minutes from the August 12th regular meeting. So if everyone wants to take an opportunity to review the minutes and let me know your thoughts.
Well, Mr. Chair, I move that we accept the minutes of the August 12, 2015 meeting.
So I have a motion from Commissioner Lopez, second from Commissioner. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Yes, I abstain.
I'll abstain.
Okay. All right. And then we'll move on to item 7, which is our consent calendar. It looks like we have one item on the consent calendar, which is the Senior Advisory Committee appointment recommendation. So if there isn't anyone among my fellow commissioners who wants to speak to that, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I move that we approve the consent calendar as written.
Okay. So I have a motion from Commissioner Dorlick, a second from Commissioner Keniston Lee. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great, so consent calendar is approved. And then we're on to items eight, commission business. 8.1 is the Library Advisory Committee appointment recommendation.
Yes, it's recommended this evening that the commission recommend an appointment as an alternate. Number one, to serve on the Library Advisory Committee with a term to expire March of 2017. The city clerk announced these vacancies. Ads were placed on the city website and posted in all city facilities. There are currently two alternate vacancies on this committee, and one application was submitted, and the interview was this evening. And so I'll turn that over to the committee for their recommendation.
Commissioners Lopez, Dorlick, and myself interviewed Yizu, mm-hmm. And we would like to make the recommendation. She was excellent, very interested in the position, very qualified. So I would like to, Chairman Mills, make a motion that we recommend as a alternate, number one, to serve on the Library Advisory Committee with a term to expire March 2017, Y-I, and the last name is Z-U-O.
Second.
Okay, so I have a motion from Commissioner Yancey and a second from Commissioner Dorlick. All those in favor of appointing Yi Zo to the alternate number one on the Library Advisory Committee, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? So that carries. So I just received a request to speak card, and there isn't an agenda item number specified. And I was wondering, sir, if you just wanted to clarify what you wanted to bring to our attention? Okay. Do you want to come up to the microphone? And
on public comment.
And we'll hear from you now. That would be great.
Thank you, respected members of the commission. My name is Sridhar Veros from San Ramon Cricket Association, president. As recently, consistently actually, there is a continuous growth of cricket community within San Ramon City, and city did a great job supporting this requirement for this community, adding, like giving us two cricket fields so far. And there's a lot of search for youth cricket programs within the city. So we are requesting city to explore a few more additional facilities for us. Like one of the high priority request is cricket batting cages, which are similar to baseball batting cages. So that can help us to meet current demand for youth cricket programs. And also, we have been requesting for converting our Monarch cricket pitch, which currently is a dirt pitch, and converting that into a concrete pitch that will help us to meet the current demand. So these are our two requests. It will be great if you can help us with that. And going forward, if you can add and one more additional cricket field, that will be a great help for us.
Well, thank you very much, sir, for your comments. And I would encourage you, actually, if you wouldn't mind communicating that in writing to our Parks Department staff. We go through an annual process, a capital projects process. And so if you wouldn't mind just submitting those projects, we could consider them through our process as we rank all of the priorities for our parks facilities. That would be great.
Yeah, so we did submit this request. For example, Monarch Park was submitted like 4 years back, and also batting cages was submitted like around 1.5 years back. At that time, Karen was helping us, but recently because of our departure from the city. So then we came back once again back to square. So
okay. Well, no, thank you for bringing that to our attention again, and we'll certainly be happy to revisit that during our annual process this year.
That will be great. Thank you very much.
Of course.
Appreciate your help.
Thank you. So now we'll move on to item 8.2, which is our teen program presentation, and that's a verbal report.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Jennifer Galt, and I work with the Parks and Community Services Department. Thank you for having me tonight. So I'm going to talk to you guys a bit about our teen programs that we offer through our department and for the city. First up, we have our Middle School Teen Center program. The Middle School Teen Centers are open every day after school until 6 p.m. The general fund subsidy for the Teen Center program is $67,756. And the cost for each participant is $1,499 for the full year, which comes out to $8.33 per day. So some of the services that are included with our Teen Center program are at least 1 hour of homework time every day at the sites. We also have laptops, printers, and textbooks available for the students to utilize. We also have the students create lists of reading books they would like to have at the sites, and we work with the San Ramon Libraries to check those books out for the students, so they have those available at the sites as well. Also available at the sites are board games, card games, various activity supplies, arts and crafts, sports equipment. And then every day, students have at least 30 minutes of active playtime at the teen centers. And they do that by playing games like dodgeball, various tag games. We also have the traditional types of sports like basketball and baseball and things like that. The staff also plan activities to work on socialization skills and character development. We do that by incorporating our Sparks program. And the Sparks program actually works with the... did you have a question? Oh, sorry. The Sparks program actually works with the 40 developmental assets that a lot of educators are starting to implement into their curriculums at schools. The Sparks activities help students to discover and explore their unique interests and passions that they may not have otherwise been exposed to. In 2011, we had the opportunity for all four teen centers to be moved onto campus, which was a great opportunity for us. That increased our participation by 33% the following year. There was an increase in pricing this last year by $200, along with a capacity increase from 30 participants to 35 participants. The four locations filled to capacity by July. We added additional spaces depending on daily attendance numbers, and that helped to alleviate some of the wait lists that we had at the four sites. With the changes, there was a 14% increase in revenue for the program last year. Lower registration numbers this year was really good because it shows that the participants are staying in the program longer, and we had lower student turnover rate for this last year. We have four middle school teen center locations. Each teen center currently has a maximum of 35 participants at the site. We currently have 140 participants total within the four sites, and we have 59 students on the wait list for the program. Pine Valley, Gale Ranch, and Windermere Ranch are located on campus in teen center portable buildings, which you can see in the picture. These portable buildings are dedicated as teen center program space. The Iron Horse Teen Center is located on campus, and we use the drama and leadership classroom, which we lease from the school district. So some new things this year that we had at the teen centers. The teen center staff actually coordinated guest speakers to come and talk to the students about careers that they were interested in. So some of the speakers we had this year included law enforcement, engineering, doctors, and teachers. The students also enjoyed a presentation by the San Ramon Police Department by their K-9 unit, and then also about cyberbullying, which was good. The teen centers created a Student of the Month program this last year. Students each month cast their vote on who they believe should be the student of the month at their site, and they write something nice about them. It's all chosen by the students, and each student can only be chosen one time, so it gets everybody a chance to become the student of the month. We also have monthly art contests at the sites. And each site chooses their own theme each month, and it's all student-picked and voted, and the staff help with that. And then they also get to hang it up on the walls, which they really enjoy doing. Also, this year, we introduced the Step It Up Pedometer program, which was really exciting. So students wear a pedometer each day they're at the Teen Center, and they compete to see which site, along with which students, take the most steps. So, they're really competitive. So, between the four sites, they took over 4.5 million steps. And this was in a 2-month period with just 3.5 hours per day at the program. So if you look at the map, that's a walk from the top of the state of Washington down to San Diego and back, which was really amazing to see how much they're moving while they're at our program. Also available for middle school students, we have our summer camp programs. So our morning teen enrichment summer camps are offered at Pine Valley and Gale Ranch Middle Schools. The morning camps were operated by independent contractors, and we had 22 camps offered with various themes, including engineering, public speaking and debate, video game design, young entrepreneur camp, and we had writing and clay sculpture as well. Parents were able to pair our morning contractor camps with our afternoon teen center camps, which provided them with an all-day option, which isn't as available anymore for that age group, so it was good to be able to provide that for them. The afternoon camps are taught by our teen center staff, and they work on things like socialization skills and building confidence with them, and they do that through sports and activities and different things that they plan throughout the summer. They also visit our two aquatic centers in San Ramon, and they go on weekly field trips around the Bay Area. Some of the new trips they went on this summer included a tour of Levi's Stadium, Lost World Adventures in Livermore, and the City of Fremont's Aquatic Park Aqua Adventure. The teen enrichment contractor camps had a total of 515 participants over 10 weeks this summer. That's an 11% increase from the previous year. The afternoon teen center summer camps had a total of 429 participants, which was an increase of 27% participation from the previous summer. 38 camps were offered over the 10 weeks, and 28 of those 38 camps filled to capacity this summer. We added additional spaces in camps, if space permitted, to help alleviate some of the wait lists and the need for the program. So we had a total of 993 weekly participants this summer, which is our highest summer yet for teens, which was really exciting. Also available for teens this summer was the Future Leaders in Training program. This program provides an opportunity for teens to attend a 6-week training program, followed up by 3 weeks of volunteering at our summer camps, which are located around the city. With a long wait list and an addition in camp offerings this year, we were able to increase the capacity from 25 participants to 37 participants. The Future Leaders in Training participants learned valuable skills at Camp Central, both at Central Park and Doherty Station Community Center, the Crazy for Sports program at Iron Horse Middle School, and the Nature Camp at Forest Home Farms, and the teen camps at Gale Ranch and Pine Valley Middle Schools. There were 37 participants, which provided over 2,000 hours of volunteer service. 650 of those hours were dedicated as aides for participants with special needs through our therapeutic recreation program. And if the Future Leaders in Training participants completed the program, they received a letter of completion along with a certificate. They like to use these for building their resumes and for their college applications. They can also receive letters of recommendation when they apply for jobs with the Parks and Community Services Department in the future. So some of these participants, or some of our staff started as camp participants, go through this program, and then are later hired on as recreation leaders, which is really exciting to see. Also available, we had our sports and arts program. So we had Club VIP Volleyball Camp, which was offered at Pine Valley Middle School. There were four camps offered, which was a new program this summer, and they had 67 participants. We had tennis camps offered at the Doherty Valley High School. And then we also had our Bay Area Children's Theater Youth Education Program, who culminated their winter spring production classes for teens in May, with performances at the Doherty Valley Performing Arts Center. The team performers classes put on Disney's My Son Pinocchio Jr. And Bay Area Children's Theater programs have been so popular this year that a second teen Next Stage performers class has been added, and their summer camp offerings have doubled since last summer. We have the Teen Council available for teens in San Ramon. We have 17 members this year with two alternate positions. There were 68 applications for this term, and they held their first workshop and meeting on August 18th. They're really excited to work on new projects this year, including a film showing on cyberbullying and a stress education event. We have the Junior Lifeguard Program for Aquatics, which is available for 12 to 15-year-olds. This program was offered this year, the Junior Guard Basic Program was offered at the San Ramon Olympic Pool and the Doherty Valley Aquatic Center. San Ramon Olympic Pool had 59 participants, and the Doherty Valley Aquatic Center had 20 participants, so a total of 79 participants this summer for that. The Junior Guard Advanced Program was offered at the San Ramon Olympic Pool for 2015 due to the camp being canceled the previous summer at the Doherty Valley Aquatic Center. This Junior Guard Advanced Program had 24 participants this summer. And then my last slide here is just a reminder that we have our San Ramon Teen website available. This is a one-stop shop for all things teen related for the city and the department. It has pages for the Teen Council, the teen centers, our camp programs, any classes and events that we offer would all be posted on this page, and we update it regularly. So in the last 12 months, the website has received 1,087 page views, and the highest traffic month was June 2015 with 155 page views. So that concludes my presentation. Are there any questions or anything I can help clarify?
Yes, actually, Commissioner Yancey had a question.
Thank you. You said that there was a waiting list of approximately 59. Was that for after school or summer? Was that for during the
day? That's for this current year at our four teen centers, so after school.
And is it fair to say that that waiting list is of middle school students from different, not just one location, is that correct?
That's all four combined. So there's about 16 to 18 at each site.
What is your recommendation? Because I hate to see anybody on a waiting list.
So right now, now that school's started up, I take a look every week at the attendance numbers, and a lot of students don't attend every day. So if they come just as needed, we'll open up additional spaces to help get through that wait list. Last year at some of the sites, we were able to get through the entire 20 people on the wait list. So it's something we're constantly reevaluating to see if we can add additional spaces. So last year we increased from 30 to 35 because we were able to continually add those five extra spaces. So we just try and do what we can to help those parents out.
And when the parents sign up, do they pay for the entire year?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they pay up front before the school year begins.
If you wanted to add an extra, mm-hmm. is there another location that you can add?
Currently,
if you had a magic wand, okay, we're going to open up another one.
Teen centers everywhere.
Right.
We currently don't have space available. We don't have additional portables available. There's not additional class. There may be additional classroom space at, say, Iron Horse, where we lease the space. But at this point, there's no extra space that I'm aware of.
Okay. Good, thank you.
Commissioner Lopez.
Well, basically that was the same question, so that we answered them to see if there was any way we could get
you know, through the wait list and if there was any other space.
Yeah, I know that's something we work with the school district on when they meet each month, so they're aware of the issue as well.
Yeah, because that's a lot of students.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Commissioner Dorlick?
Yes, please. Great report.
Thank you.
Great to see the kind of activities here. In the summer program, how many, do you know how many people, or track how many people do the AM and the PM program? Is there overlap there for both programs?
I've noticed with the camp at Pine Valley, there's a good portion of them that do all day. So I would say at least half of the kids are there all day, if not more. The camp at Gale Ranch has a lot less. They like to either come and do the morning or they come and do the afternoon for the fun. So it's more educational based at that site.
Okay, well, seeing no other questions or comments from the commission, I guess I just sort of want to echo the concern for capacity. Because I mean, I know that's also been sort of a long-standing issue, so I guess sort of anything we can do to be creative or be bold about increasing the capacity, I would be all for. So thank you so much for a very great report.
Thank you.
So now we'll move on to 8.3, which is the Public Services Annual Park Maintenance Plan. Okay.
That's true.
That's comfortable. Okay, thanks. And it's not a coincidence that she shares the same last name. She is my daughter-in-law. I'm married to my son for over 5 years and the mother of my grandchild. So I hope you all had the opportunity to review the park maintenance plan. Commissioner Kennison Lee asked me today if I was going to go over every line of it, line by line, and I assured her that I would. So, if I can have your attention for the next hour and a half.
Did you provide
and there will
coffee?
Be a quiz after this.
Yeah. Here's our coffee. Here's our lattes.
Lattes would be nice.
Where's my...
Interesting.
Yeah.
My husband, he was like, oh, listen now, yeah.
But it kind of repeated itself.
Yeah, I had a hard time because I'm like, oh, where's this? Oh, wait, it's in this section.
That's you a little know, stuffy.
Expecting John to say, no, it's freezing.
No, it's a little
stuffy. And it was hard. Was everything being covered? And I had to make sure.
I thought that was interesting.
Okay, so actually I'm going to go over an abbreviated version of this. There's a lot of information in here. This is the result of a couple of years worth of work by myself and staff. We actually have, over the years, had draft park maintenance plans that we started and got shelved and couldn't really figure out how we wanted it to function and look and work, and there's a lot of different agencies that have a lot of different plans, and most of them don't make a whole lot of sense. They're just a lot of paperwork and information that don't really seem very useful. So we struggled for probably 20 years since the idea of a comprehensive park plan first came about, and had a lot of renditions of it, and a couple years ago finally decided to get some more staff involvement and really put something out there that we could finally say, if somebody were to come up and ask you, what's your park maintenance plan? It's like, well, yeah, we got a plan. And if you would ask any of my staff what their plan is, it's like, yeah, we got a plan. We do all this stuff. It's all right up here. Yeah, we go out and we do what we do every day. But, you know, to most people, they might think, you guys haven't been thinking about what your plan is. You know, we're taxpayers, we pay a lot of money. How do you maintain our parks? You just like shooting from the hip or whatever? So we put a lot of time into it. I got a lot of input from staff, and we put this plan into place. And so this is the first rendition of the final draft. And we've implemented it, and it will be a piece of work that continues to evolve as we figure out what flaws are in it and what things need to be amended and that sort of thing. So I'm going to try to explain this to you in an abbreviated manner, and if you have any questions, then fire away. So what's inside the park plan? The plan purpose and acknowledgments. This is basically the table of contents for the plan. List of park facts and information. Park map. Master list of tasks. Service detail and staff notes. Park maintenance task descriptions. The park maintenance standards, the park HML priorities, or the high, medium, and low priorities, and park maintenance frequency schedule, and contract specifications. Some of these things you've seen before in the past that you may or may not remember. So the purpose and goal of the plan is to provide operational and training guidelines for maintenance standards and accepted practices, provide guidance and clear direction to staff on the scope of duties to be performed and accepted methods to complete those tasks. So one of the things that comes up frequently is people ask you things about the park and all this information, and I use Central Park as an example. So what you're seeing here on Central Park, we have one of these for all 57 parks in San Ramon. Okay. There's detailed tasks that apply to each individual park in each individual plan. So we have all this information in all kinds of places in different files. You know, some people ask, well, how many acres is that park? Well, how many acres is turf? How many trees do you have in that park? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that we're always looking for. And then for budgeting purposes, you know, when we need to think about, well, how much turf do we need to renovate? Or, you know, when do we need to replace the concrete? And do we need to do a bathroom renovation? And, you know, when was it built? What's the age of the park? And all these different things. We have all that information, but it's really hard to locate because it's in a million different files. So we tried to simplify that and took a bunch of things that are important, I think, for our staff to know and for people who might inquire about it, and put it in this plan just so they had a quick reference to it. So Central Park, for instance, you know, we have 45 total acres, 35 of that is turf, 58,000 square feet is landscape. We got 195,000 square feet of hardscape, 15 irrigation controllers, 315 irrigation valves, 3 restrooms, 1 playground, 5 baseball fields, 5 soccer fields, 4 basketball courts, 3 tennis courts, volleyball courts, 31 tables. I bet nobody knew that.
Nope.
And you know, when somebody asks you that, when you work in the parks for as long as I have, and they ask you, you know, how many barbecues you have at Central Park, I don't want to say, I don't know. You know, so we got 5 barbecues. We have 9 drinking fountains, 61 garbage cans, 225 trees, and we have lines in the plan so that the park staff there, when they notice other things that they want to record, they can write that. Like the next thing is parking spaces. How many parking spaces do we have there? We have that information somewhere, but off the top of my head, I don't know. So we want that there in case somebody ever asks. So this is an example of the master list of tasks. What I'm showing here is, right now, is the daily tasks. And if you look up in the corner where it says frequency, you'll see the number 1. And that refers down below, and it's in your sheet at the bottom of the page, in your plan packet there. Number 1 means frequency under normal conditions. When we put a plan like this together, it can't be written in solid concrete. There's so many variables that go into it. It's a guideline and a document to provide a basis of some sort of accountability. And so, and you see number 2, it says normal tasks listed but not limited to. So we don't want people looking at this and saying, oh, these are the only tasks you provide. There may be other things that happen that aren't specifically listed here. Number 3 is the units per site. So for instance, when we're calculating how much time it does to do baseball infield maintenance, I didn't want it to present it as, well, how much does it take to do the whole park? I wanted it to represent, well, how much does it take to do a unit? And so that we could calculate how much time it takes and what steps are required to do the maintenance of that task. Much like the example I use is McDonald's. You go to McDonald's, and every time you go to McDonald's, no matter where it is in any state or any country, they have a standard. You get served within 3 minutes. The hamburger is always the same. No matter who's working back there, it's the same product every time. And so I was trying to create that for our staff. So if I have one person doing a baseball field, he's doing it the exact same way as somebody else is doing the baseball field. So each one of them would know that it takes a certain amount of time, and there's these certain different steps that it takes to complete that. So that it's not who's doing it, but it's the same product is generated no matter who's doing the work. And so we divided everything into units, and then the time it takes to do per unit. So this 31 you see here represents all of the daily tasks that you see in your packet. It's totaled on this screen because I didn't want to list everything there. And the amount of time it would take to do all those things if they were done individually. Now keep in mind, all these site inspection basic maintenance tasks are done simultaneously. So they're not necessarily, like when they're going out and emptying the garbage, they're not looking for vandalism at the same time. They're not looking at the other park conditions. So it's all going on at the same time. So these tasks are being completed simultaneously. And it explains that in better detail inside the report or inside the plan. And then we have some services are contracted, and we have a spot for employees to add notes. And then we also have, I just showed you the example of daily tasks, but we broke down to tasks that are done twice a week, and then tasks that are done weekly, and then tasks that are done monthly, and then tasks that are done quarterly, and tasks that are done semi-annually. Annual tasks. And then seasonal tasks that we do as needed on a seasonal basis. And then you'll see down here, unscheduled as needed. So our staff estimated that approximately 20% of their available staff time is spent performing tasks that are unscheduled or unanticipated tasks. Things like vandalism, or if the water pipes break and we have to stop everything to fix the water line break, or if the playground breaks and we have to fix it, and it's not a routine thing, it's something that was unanticipated. So they estimate about 20% of their time they're working on things that are not part of their daily schedule. So this is an example of a daily task. And so we put up litter and garbage here. And in your pack, you'll notice that there's an asterisk next to litter and garbage removal. And what that indicates is this is done simultaneously with other tasks that are listed as daily tasks. So you don't go out, as I explained before, you don't go out and spend 3 hours picking up litter and garbage and then go back out and spend another hour and a half looking for vandalism and then go out for another hour and a half and see if the picnic areas are dirty. You're doing that all at the same time. So, and then in the task descriptions, for every task that's listed on the master list of tasks, there's a corresponding description of what it takes to do that task, how you do that task. So you see here for litter and garbage removal, if you go to the task descriptions, it'll tell you, well, what does litter and garbage removal mean? It means obtain appropriate PPE, which is personal protective equipment. If you need gloves.
Thank you. Personal protective equipment.
If you need gloves or eye protection or ear protection or other types of protection, that's what you do first. And then it tells the employee or whoever is inquiring, okay, this is how we do litter and garbage pickup. We inspect the whole park and it explains how you do that. And then it explaining how we empty trash cans and when do you empty a bag, when it's quarter full, half full, overflowing. There's a lot of questions people have about that. They go and look at a garbage can and they say, well, it wasn't full, and then somebody complains that it's overflowing. So, okay, well, let's decide on a standard that we're gonna do. We're just gonna decide if it's 50% full, we're gonna empty it. And this is just one example of a daily task that we're trying to actually have a plan for, even though it seems something like emptying garbage cans, it's like, why do you need a plan for that? It's like, well, we need to have a standard that people follow and that everybody does it. I don't want one guy emptying a garbage can when it's a quarter full and one at a half full. We want it just like McDonald's. We do it the same all the time. And we get the same result every time, or that, at least that's the goal. And here's another example for vandalism and graffiti. And it goes through the process for inspecting for vandalism and graffiti and what you do if you see it. And so that's all the slides I did, but we have those descriptions for every single task that's in the plan. So if you read through it, you'll see when you go to the weekly tasks, it'll tell you how to do that. And when you go through inspecting a soccer field, it'll tell you how to do that. So the training element of this to the staff is for all of them to get on the same page to say, these are the steps you take to do this. This is what you've told me how long it takes to do these things. And so it's an accountability measure to say, we're all going to do this, and the plan is built so that if they come back and find, well, we're not meeting this, we can't do it, well, then either we will know that, okay, the plan's unrealistic, it takes longer or it takes less time to do this, or there are certain performance issues with some people, or we don't have the resources to do this, so then we will know that, well, in order to meet these parameters and provide this level of service, then we either need to increase resources, lower the standard, or correct performance issues. So I think this is a really good model of a park maintenance plan. I don't think you'll see many others like that in any other park districts anywhere. And so it's taken a long time. We've just implemented it and trying to get the staff used to it, and we'll see how it pans out in the coming years. So if you have any questions.
We do have questions, actually, Jeff. The first person up is Commissioner Yancey.
Great job, Jeff. Fantastic job. I mean, what you do with the cities, you realize you can never retire. I mean, you're never going to be able to leave, because no one's going to be able to follow you, but just great job. A couple of things. When just, I understand the process, units, times, tasks, like, how do you define what is a unit? So when I look at inspect flags, you've got six units. What is a unit? Does that mean there's six flags or six people are going to do this? Or
yeah, for example, at Central Park, there's six flagpoles.
Okay.
So each flagpole is a unit.
Okay, great. And then, how is the time measured? And is it, for example, my husband's in the food business. They've got these iPads. They'll go out into stores, and then they'll start recording information immediately. So how are you keeping track of the time that it takes so that you can go back and say, okay, it took this long, maybe it's shorter, maybe we can add time?
Well, the time estimates that are in there right now are provided by staff, in that the people that have been doing these tasks for years and years and years have indicated, well, this is what it takes to do it. And believe me, over the course of this whole thing, I had to edit that and question them about it and all that, because sometimes people tend to exaggerate things a little bit. And so, but at the same time, I wanted them to feel that their input was valid and appreciated. So it's measured in decimals of an hour, basically, you know, 0.25 is a quarter hour, right? So, and as there's little disclaimers in there that says, based on normal conditions during peak season, you know, subject to significant changes based on weather, events in the park, you know, all these different things. So under our perfect conditions, this is how, it's a guideline to say, okay, we've thought about this, we have a plan, we're not just out here stumbling around doing maintenance, we actually are thinking about how we accomplish things and what we want it to look like at the end of the day. But we also realize that in the world of maintenance, there's so many variables that can change things that we can't anticipate and don't expect, and so we're trying to show that these times are based on ideal conditions during peak season, absent of things like emergencies and special events and weather conditions and all that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Commissioner Keniston Lee.
Okay. As truly devastated as I am to not be going through every single line item.
We can do that offline.
Okay. I do want to compliment you and your department for putting so much thought and analysis into it. I mean, clearly, this is not an easy thing to do. So I really appreciate that. And I also appreciate the fact that that you're right off the bat talking about it being a continually evolving document, because I think you're probably sick of looking at it at this point, and it would be very easy to shelf it and say, forget this, I did what I was supposed to do. But I like that you see it as something that lives, a living document, and that you're willing to tweak it as necessary. So I think that's really good. I also really like the fact that, you know, rather than draw on your considerable experience, you worked with your staff to get their buy-in on times and all the data that's in there. So I love that. And though I do not plan to memorize the document, I do as a public figure, you know, as a commissioner, I love the idea that the information lives somewhere. So that if somebody comes to us and says, you know, we've got the teeth behind what we do with our parks. You know, it's there's proof in the pudding in terms of look at our parks, you know. But this shows that there's thought process that leads to our success with our parks. And so I'm just really excited about it. I know it was probably a really big task to accomplish, but I want you to know it's really appreciated.
And if I could, you know, the impetus behind this was exactly what you mentioned, is that as the city grows and we take on all these parks and we get more and more people here and all these different viewpoints and opinions and everything like that, both good and bad, we want to be able to say, oh, we've thought about this. You know, oh, we do have a plan. So when somebody comes up to a parks commissioner or a council member or a staff member or whatever, or somebody working out there who's wants to complain about what's going on, it's like, what are you guys doing? You know, what's your plan? Here it is. And then anybody who reads this, I think, will look at it and say, there was a lot of thought and work that went into this, and this is pretty comprehensive for the person who maybe doesn't know anything, and for the new employee who comes to us and hasn't worked in one of our parks before here and says, here's our maintenance program, this is what you're expected to do, and we've got a step-by-step guideline for them to go out there and do the task so they know what they're doing. They're not just learning on the run sort of thing.
And there was one side question you reminded me I wanted to ask you. I'm curious to what extent there will be a compliance measurement piece to this where you actually, you know, it's tied to performance. Is that completely separate?
Asked that.
Well, yeah,
there's a plan for that too, and we're working on it. We're starting with it in our landscape services area, where we actually have an inspection checklist, to where all of these tasks that you see in there and the task descriptions are inspected at some frequency that we haven't determined yet, but probably quarterly, and then it's additional spot inspections, and whether it's by staff or a third party, would go out and measure these tasks and check a box that either said yes or no. You know, are there weeds in the park? Yes or no. And then our goal is that, our goal would be that 90% of tasks and standards met is an A. You know, A is a B, and C is a C, and anything below that is A. And so we would measure that on a quarterly basis and then see how we do from quarter to quarter. So that's kind of the next step that we're going, not just with our own parks program, but with our evaluation of our contractors as well. So that's all in the work. It takes a lot of time. So
I think even more than tying it to performance, I'm really excited about the potential for just using it as a training tool. I think that's where the real beauty of this lies. A big part of the beauty of it lies is just, you know, like you said, having consistent standards and being able to bring somebody new on board and saying, you know, here's what we're shooting for. And I think that's excitement. That's really exciting in terms of the use of this tool.
Yeah, and another thing is it's a very simple sheet. We call it park maintenance service detail, and it's just an empty sheet with lines here. And this is for the staff that works out in any particular park. There's things out there in the park that only the people that work there all the time have the intimate knowledge about, knowing certain particulars about that park. Like, you know, this certain person comes here and leaves stuff here, or this spot always gets wet, or this area tends to dry out and die, and You know, there's all these things that somebody just walking on wouldn't know until they learned it. So this is for them to write down these sorts of things or special projects that they did to improve a condition. They can write that down so somebody can read it. It's like, well, on this date, this happened to correct this problem. So we have that information there so that the person who's been working at that park for 10 years or whatever, one day leaves and the next guy comes in and doesn't have that intimate knowledge of some of the particulars that occur in all the parks. When you work out in 57 different parks, they're not all the same. There's issues, there's drainage issues here, there's sensitive neighbors that live in some of the neighborhoods that need to be aware of things that we've accommodated them with and that we kind of promised and that everyone's not going to know about except for specific individuals. So we want it to be an open, simple thing so that the information is available to anybody who looks at the plan.
Commissioner Lopez, you were next.
This was really great in being on the commission for some time. I think this really, it's come about that you've done a great job. And it helps us by when we visit all the parks that we're familiar with. And just for instance, I know my family had a family reunion at one of the parks. And they were really impressed with their parks. And you did get questions of, you know, how do you keep it this way and what is this and et cetera, et cetera. So something like this is really very important that as a public, you know, servant that we should know and it's helped you to go around. I had just from my own under a BMX track, what is, when you protect the drains during winter, what is a straw wattle? How do you do that? I mean, I think maybe in my mind I know what it is, but I'm certainly not a maintenance person.
Well, the straw wattle it's a storm control device, and what it is basically a sock that's stuffed with like straw or sawdust. Mm-hmm. And you see them a lot of times around drains or along sidewalks where erosion could come down there, and they're staked in to stop erosion and water from running into the drains. And so that's what that is. There's.
I'm so glad to know that because I've seen those all over. I just know I've learned something. Okay. And then what is, I assume, on when you're turf fertilization in the sports field, you use a KUBOTA with attachment. Is that some type of machine that you use?
Oh, okay. That's the Kubota. The Kubota is a small tractor that is able to attach several different types of implements, including fertilizer spreaders, aerators, rototillers, all kinds of stuff like that.
Okay, that's what I figured, but I wanted to know. And so, like, when we're having the dog races at the Oktoberfest, and we're going to call on Public Works to smooth dirt and everything and all, so then you'll come and do that with some piece of equipment, I'm sure, to make it smooth for the little doggies to run on.
We have groomers and scarifiers, and we're lucky we have a lot of good equipment to do a lot of good stuff. And so if there's any and if there's special requests, then that's another thing that
throws your timing off.
Well, no, and we need to know that in advance, because like we know when tournaments are coming, and we know, you know, what the schedule for league play is, and all the user groups and all that stuff. If there's an event like dog races or whatever, and we need to think about something, then that's something we need to do and make sure we get it in here, so that we're reminded. Oh, you know, on this month we have an extra thing that we need to do to prepare for this event.
I think the detail is great, so your staff and you have done just a great job. It will help us in our doing our job.
Commissioner Ernest.
Congratulations. This is as good a report as I've ever seen. We now have available to us as commissioners everything we're going to need to know about every park in the whole city. And that's been something that I've really waited for and hoped for. And you've done something that's really been good, for me at least, and I appreciate it.
Commissioner Dorlick.
Oh, thank you. Two things. One, thank you for straw bottles. I would use that.
No, it's so nice.
As a trivia quack question, next time I play trivia.
We have hay bales too.
Okay, so the straw bottle. Everybody.
Sandbags, what do you got?
Are we also, I noticed the number of contract usage, and it's actually less than I would anticipate. Are we looking at this also as a tool to evaluate, a cost-benefit analysis between, FTEs versus contractual, going forward?
We've done that in the past. We've done complete cost analysis on in-house turf mowing versus contracted and all that, and. That was a huge subject for several years, a long time ago. But absolutely. I mean, as far as measuring performance, the cost of contracting out work versus bringing in new staff, where we're at right now with the things that are contracted out, much of it is more and more the things that are very routine in nature, such as mowing the grass, cleaning the bathrooms, even emptying trash in some cases, trimming the plants and pulling the weeds. Those are types of things that can become very mundane to staff. So we've determined that it's more cost effective to contract out some of those services rather than paying a skilled maintenance worker $25 an hour to empty trash cans or clean bathrooms. Sure. To contract those types of services out and then really focus on our staff on the things that are most important to us, things like the irrigation maintenance. We really want to maintain and even elevate and enhance the level of our sports fields, top-notch playgrounds, people who are trained in playground inspection and safety and how to repair and maintain that stuff. And I think we get a higher level of service for the best cost, and then we also are recognizing our staff by providing them with jobs that are a higher skill level. And some, after several years of going out and doing nothing but trimming the bushes and pulling the weeds, they tend to burn out, and it's hard to manage that. It's much easier to manage that when it's a contractor.
I mean, also you're talking about knowing the uniqueness of the parks and being able to identify that and coming back with more analytics, so to speak, on the parks. I mean, I was just surprised. I thought there would be more contractor use of Central Park. That's why I was asking the question.
Well, there actually is, because as I think we have a plan for all of the parks, but the school parks, the 14 school parks that we have now, are 100% contracted out. Okay. So this applies more to the parks that are not the school parks. The school parks, we've contracted out now with them, and they actually, it's kind of an experiment to see how it works and see what kind of service levels we get. They're actually doing the irrigation in those parks. They're doing the field maintenance. They're doing everything, and our staff's involvement is pretty much restricted to overseeing what the contractors are doing. We're not sending any staff out there to do any physical work.
Okay.
So, and you know, that'll be something that we'll be able to measure in the next year or so and see how that works out.
And see how it might apply to some of the other.
Yeah, and see if that's a good model to continue, or if we should go back to having staff in those parks, mm-hmm. you know.
Excellent. So it really is a analyze also from the cost benefit.
Absolutely. And by the way, so this is the beginning. We're in the works of doing the same thing for the facilities and for the streets and the landscaping, and I'm not sure how we're going to do it. And maybe I'll hire a consultant next time to do this work.
Commissioner Matsumoto.
Well, I think Wei was slow on the draw here since I'm almost last, but I do want to echo the commissioners on what an excellent job you did. You obviously took a lot of time, and it shows that you take pride in your work and you're looking out for the future. I think it's kind of like an event, you know, for the next person. If they want to pick that up and don't know anything, they have a Bible. And so thank you for that. And it sounds like you've also set the pace for all the other departments. So thank you.
And Commissioner Yancey.
Just to follow up on Commissioner Keniston Lee, every year, and a couple of additional comments, every year the city always receives awards because of things that they've done, programs and things. If this is something that you're not aware of being done by other cities, it's something that should be referred to be recognized by the state as a model. So I don't know if other cities are doing this, but I think it's so wonderful. You know, we get awards for, you know, events and things, but really when it comes down to it, if you don't have an effective plan, you can't maintain your parks, you can't do it in a fiscally appropriate, you know, and smart way, I think this is a real great foundation. So I really encourage this to be referred to the state for their yearly awards. And then secondly, when someone is out and they want to make a correction, is it actually a physically hard piece of paper that they write these items down and then they go back to the office? How do you become aware of it? How is it, you know?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, right now we have the plan. The staff has binders for every park at the park for these that they can refer to, and they can go in and physically write things down in it. You know, every category of tasks has some blank lines so that they can write in what that is, and then we can update it and do that. But where we're moving to in the future is, and we've already done a pilot program on this, but it's still evolving, our city technology and just our experience in using it involves the staff having actually tablets or smartphones.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
That and we've just created a PDF, a writable PDF version of the tasks, the master task list and the staff notes, to where certain people who we've chosen to start experimenting with it and implementing it can actually go onto the tablet and do it electronically in real time. And we haven't figured out all the kinks and quirks that that are going to go along with that, but at some point in the future, this whole thing is going to be available on your smartphone or your tablet, and staff will be able to refer to it right there. They'll be able to send in, if they completed a task, they'll be able to hit a button and say task completed. It'll get tracked, all that. So that's in the future. We have a number of iPads, employees that are working with the iPads now and entering data and that sort of stuff. And next year, I think we're going to add like another 13. So it's going to be a slow process because there's some hurdles to get over with that. But it's moving that way.
Yeah, and that's where you see I'm going. I mean, obviously, if you're in, the one thing is if you've got something simple that you can put on your hip while you're working, but it's not simply feasible to be able to either leave an iPad in an open vehicle, that iPad's going to be gone.
Right.
So how can you have something that unless you're in the truck, you can immediately have it on your hip. You can immediately report to it.
It's we'll have a combination of smartphones and iPads in the future, and it'll be accountability and what we do will be so much better because it'll all be recorded. And the staff will be able to go out and basically kind of like a work order system. That's been completed. Oh, by the way, the supervisor, something came into him. He needs to send something to you. He can send it right back out to you. The staff person can respond, and then he can email him back when he's completed with that. We have a record forever on it in real time. You know, so that's we're trying to get there. It'll take a while, but we're trying to get there.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Jeff. Fantastic report. So moving right along to our staff reports, if everyone wants to pull that out of their packet, and let me know if you have any questions on the administration and development report. Seeing none there, we'll move along to the recreation program and community services report. Oh, Commissioner Keniston Lee.
Okay, 9.2 on page 10 of 20. I was just noticing that 11 out of 14 offered visual art classes were canceled. That's a lot. And I'm just wondering, do we have any thoughts on what's leading to that? And
sorry.
I know how it works, what leads to cancer, but it seems like there's something going on there.
Staff's telling me in the summertime, and I'd have to make sure these weren't connected to actual camps. The public really is looking for camps, not classes. So a class might be offered once a week versus a camp that runs 5 days a week during the summer. So it appears that we need to be moving more towards the camp experience versus classes. So that is most likely one of the reasons, and we're watching this trend, and you'll probably see a change next year in classes versus camps.
Okay, that's what I mean. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions on 9.3, the maintenance and operations report? Yes, Commissioner Yancey.
Once again, we see additional vandalism that is occurring. Do we have any kind of ideas? Is it more prevalent on the weekend? Is it more prevalent, do we think, at night, Jeff?
Well, yeah, it's been, the weekends has definitely been more prevalent. Summertime, people are at school, so we typically see an uptick in that during the summertime. I don't know what's going on over here in particular, but that twice in a month, that restaurant set on fire. Vandalism in this city kind of peaks and valleys, and we won't have it for a while, and then all of a sudden we did. So hopefully with school get back in, it's just slowing down a little bit.
And then any questions on 9.4, which is our list of action items that everyone has for reference in their packet? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 10, which is update on city council reports. Is there anything new and notable going on with the city council?
The last two meetings,
the bylaw amendments that you approved here to move on, the council approved. So I will add those to your packet next month so you have the updates. They were minor, as you remember, but I'll make sure you get those packets. And then last night, the highlight was the, and the assistant city manager's here, was the medical marijuana. And I wasn't here during that portion, so he might give you an update.
Good evening, members of the commission. Is it on? Oh, it's on. Last night the city council began the process of passing an ordinance to ban medical marijuana dispensaries punishable by a misdemeanor. Currently, Santa Rosa does not have a medical marijuana ordinance, and with the proliferation of requests and some mobile dispensaries. Actually, on weedmaps.com, apparently you can find mobile dispensaries that will come to your home and deliver. The council decided it was prudent to go ahead and ban those joining most of the cities in Contra Costa County. We, at this time, were silent on the issue, so staff thought it was appropriate to ask the council if they wanted to take a decision one way or the other, and they chose to ban it. Ironically, last night, the city of San Leandro authorized a dispensary within the city of San Leandro, opening one there, so it was kind of a irony. So our residents can get a little bit closer than Oakland now. Other than that, there was an announcement by council member alone that East Bay Regional Parks has entered into an agreement to purchase the Wiedemann property, not all of it, but a very, very large part of it, using WW funds. So potentially that organization, either one of the commissioners or the general manager or somebody from their staff, will be coming to talk about that particular decision process at a future council meeting, as potentially as early as September 22nd. So that's very exciting news. That's it.
Thank you for that information. So then, looking under committee reports 11.1, it looks like we have a policy committee meeting scheduled for September 23rd. Still planning on that?
Don't think we have anything on the calendar at this time, so we'll call that a TBD.
Okay, perfect.
And if there is, Chairperson Mills, I will, that is the weekend coming up, a family weekend, so I will be out of the state. If that's the case, on the 23rd, I actually fly out.
Okay. Thank you for letting me know. So then, since none of our committees have met recently, I don't think we have any reports from them, so we'll move on to commission member items, and I'd actually like to start with our student commissioner, because I know she has an 8:30 commitment.
So we had our retreat, and that was on August 18th this past month, and it lasted almost all day from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it went really well. We had, again, as I mentioned before, 12 new members, so a lot of it was spent kind of showing them the ropes, telling them what was going on. A lot of confusion was there, and so we had everyone figure out their liaisons, and that was actually really exciting because people were competing with each other over choosing which committees they wanted to serve as a liaison for. So then we just went around, we had icebreakers happen, and then we went around and figured out what we wanted to figure out and do for this upcoming year, and we just kind of got started immediately, and each committee went ahead and organize the different events that we would be like pursuing and looking at, and then we wanted to integrate again as a whole, that like each committee would work together versus separately on different events. We wanted to come together and have like PR or public relations work on something at the same time that community outreach is for the same event. So we're working on coming together and becoming a more tightly knit bunch. And then, in fact, today I had a meeting with the chairs of all the subcommittees, and what we did was we created a master calendar for the entire year of all the events we're looking at, and we also looked at everything, and we were looking at what we could possibly take on and like how we could integrate everything into the entire year. And the first thing we're looking at is actually next month in October, and we wanted to have a movie showing of the movie Cyberbully, and Jen actually told us that next month a digital citizenship week is going to be occurring, so we wanted to go ahead and integrate the movie showing of Cyberbully straight into that because it works kind of perfectly. And so we had to get all the grants in this past week, so we did that, and we're hoping to hear back really soon and then put everything together. And we are going to be working with Teen Esteem and hopefully San Ramon Police Department on working and having a panel at that. So that's the very first thing we're going to be working on, and we're going to be addressing that immediately at our next meeting next Tuesday. And there's just been a lot of involvement with the new members. Everyone's really excited, and everyone's like feeling very enthusiastic, and I'm seeing a lot of participation, so I'm very excited to see what happens, and I will keep you updated next month.
And actually, Commissioner Matsumoto wanted to make a comment on your report.
Yeah.
I was present at the retreat, and I want to say congratulations. You did a great job that day of running everything. It looks like the teen council, like you mentioned, is very enthused. I mean, they were all engaged. They stood up and went ahead and committed to, you know, the committees right away. And I applaud you for trying to get them to be more cohesive and working together and empowering them as a group. So, good luck, and I look forward to working with you.
Commissioner Dorlick, did you have anything to share with the group?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. And we can talk together about this, but we had the Health Consortium meeting just, this was last week, and there was a good enthusiasm there on the combination of citizens, business people, you know, et cetera, to talk about what would make a healthy, vibrant community from a physical and spiritual standpoint. So that was very good. I think thank you so much for meeting there. Jordan, you got a good instruction on the Wigio platform, so that was very exciting. In addition, two other announcements on this coming Friday and Saturday evening at the Doria Valley Performing Arts Center. Ceremony's very own contemporary adult dance group, Company of the Sun, will be performing both evenings. From the Ceremonial Arts Foundation. So that should be a very exciting performance. So I invite you all to come to that. And then on the 19th of September, the Doherty Valley Ceremon Rotary Club will have their third annual Hop Fest. And Commissioner Matsumoto will give you some more information about that on the Hop Fest and the bike ride.
Commissioner Ernest, Commissioner Keniston Lee, and Commissioner Yancey.
On planning, the City Council has appointed Dejal Patel to fill the spot on the Planning Commission. That was recently done. And then we're going to have two new additions, two new businesses to the area. The Planning Commission approved Walgreens Pharmacy in the Windermere area. And there will be no hard alcohol that's going to be sold at that facility. And then the second is a Wendy's restaurant and drive-thru at San Juan Valley Boulevard. So the commission, we're going to see two new facilities, two new businesses that are coming on in.
Commissioner Lopez.
I don't have any particular things for the arts advisory at this time. Soon we'll be having some recognition of the pieces of art that have been installed. But I'll go back on commission things. The San Ramon Historic Foundation is coming Monday, September 14th, is having their Tips for Change at Gianni's, and reservations are between 5 and 8. And you have to have a minimum amount of people at 50, and we are not there yet. So I pass these flyers around to everybody in the city. Tomorrow we have to have it, like tomorrow afternoon, we have to have 50 people or it will be canceled. Where are you at then? We're at 40, so we need 10 more people.
8.
Okay.
I'll be there.
Okay, so you'll call tomorrow
yes.
then?
Yes.
Because it's a way of raising money for the old barn, which is taking on a great responsibility. So I would encourage you to go. The food is very good. They're very good. I think they do a wonderful job of every Monday posting a charity. And the money, 10% goes to that charity. So this one is it's what they said on the Historic Foundation. So if any of you in the audience would like to go, I know that Shirley and Donna already gone. So we would like to see you here if you come and join us. And the members of the foundation will be serving you. So we will be very careful not to spill anything on you or anything. And on my little tablet to make sure I have all the orders correct. But it's a very good program, and I hope that we can get 10 more people to come to a lot of them.
Commissioner Matsumoto.
The Open Space Committee did not meet yet, so we were dark this past month in August. We'll be meeting again this Monday. But with regards to the V3 Hop Fest, as Commissioner Dorlick mentioned, it is September 19th. and it is here, right here at 2600 Camino Ramon. You have an opportunity to do a bike ride of 30, 60, or 100 miles, and then followed by the Hop Fest, which will have about 20 craft breweries. You could do one, both, or the other. So invite you to come on and join us, and proceeds are for Sentinels of Freedom Scholarship Foundation and the Doherty Valley San Ramon Rotary Foundation. Just come out and have fun. We've already exceeded the numbers from the past 2 years.
Yancy, you had one more thing, of course.
One thing is to consider potentially agendizing is concerning team council applications. We got 68 last time. And to consider whether we simply want to open the team council to anyone that wishes to apply, rather than to simply limit it to 17. And if we've got that many teens that are applying that want to do that much good work in the city, is to potentially look at, is this something that we want to consider instead of simply limiting it to 17 individuals?
You're saying open the team council to more members?
Open it to anyone that wants to apply. Just like CSF?
Bylaws.
Oh no, all being part of a teen council that helps the city, rather than simply do an interview process and limit it to 17. Mm-hmm. Not that this is an agendized, but to consider it down the road. Yeah. CSF, Key Club, all the other organizations, you apply, you work, you volunteer. Mm-hmm. So it's just my thought to eventually start potentially just bringing it up in front of, or potentially consider agendizing that. You got 68 kids that want to help the city, come on board. So not necessarily that we'll do that, but it's something I think we should explore.
So I would suggest that if we're going to move in this direction, we start with policy committee. So would you like me to, sounded like, who's on policy?
She's on the policy committee.
Right. So would you like me to put it on the October, end of October for policy?
I leave that up to Commissioner Chairperson Mills.
I mean, I guess, Esther, whenever you think it would be appropriate, sort of working back from when the process actually starts for this year, so that we have enough time to consider changes before the process commences.
That would definitely be the issue, is we have to have everything in place by 1st of February, I believe. So, yeah. And it's a bylaw change.
Bylaw change.
That means council. There's a number of steps
to
go through that type of change.
I don't think we need to decide on a date at this point, but just it's just a balloon up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to bring it to the commission.
At your pleasure, we can start the process in October if you like.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you could just let us know when you think we need to start talking about it in order to meet all of the milestones to make it happen.
Okay.
And then actually I had one item before we adjourned, a fabulous suggestion from Esther that I am wholeheartedly supportive of, and I hope everyone else agrees. Well, not that yet, but maybe that's coming. So Esther had mentioned to me that since our November meeting falls on Veterans Day, we might consider canceling our October 14th and our November 11th meeting, and instead having a single meeting on November 4th. And so if Wednesday, November 4th is open for people, I think that's a good route to go. My only sort of request, if we do want to all entertain that, is in looking at the items on our calendar for October and November and December, I guess if there was a way to sort of look at those 3 months as they're currently scheduled and kind of redistribute the items so that they're sort of half and half between November 4th and December 9th, I think that'd make for more manageable meetings.
Yes, we would do that. We may delay some of the presentations, because as we get into November, as you all know, it starts the budget season with CIPs taking
the lead. So we would definitely keep that in the annual reports rolling, and perhaps delay some of the presentations if we can until a little later.
I still have a question. You want to cancel the October meeting?
Yes, and have a November 4th meeting that would basically serve the function of October and November. And then just redistribute our items for the last 3 months of the year to fit two meetings instead of three.
Does that include people on my right?
It matters what the topic load is, and if we need additional meetings, we should meet additionally. However, if we have so few items to consider that we can do that, I have another board meeting that night that I would prefer. If that works for everybody else, I'll make it so I can be here. But I think what should drive it is how many items we have to consider. If we need more than just the November meeting, then we need it.
We always have the option, as you all know, to hold a meeting on the last Wednesday of the month, which is why we reserve that for committee meetings. So if we found that was the issue, we could all, I don't think we can do that in November because that's Thanksgiving week. It gets difficult as we move into November with holidays and so forth. So we...
Do we know if we have anything that's pressing right now?
Looking at the calendar, I mean, pressing, the November meeting would definitely have the CIP items. We would most likely do the master plan update as well, because we have to keep that moving through the year. But those things are on target to happen in November anyway. And some presentations can go on hold until after the first of the year. Yeah, that could wait until the first of the year. Mm-hmm.
Does that take care of your light, Carol? Did you have something else to say? Okay. Commissioner Yancey?
But going to the issue concerning November 11th being Veterans Day, I agree. I don't think we should be meeting on Veterans Day. So going to November 4th, I'm available that day if we wish to reschedule.
So it sounds like a plan. Okay. I'm like, wait, should I know about this?
Consolidating or not?
So I'm available on the 4th. Commissioner Matsumoto is available on the 4th. Commissioner Lopez is available on the 4th. Commissioner Yancey is available on the 4th. So it looks like we'd have a quorum. Commissioner Ernest available on the 4th. Yeah, so I think we're canceling and consolidating and hoping everyone can be here.
So we're canceling October and December?
And November.
In November?
Yes. Yes. So we would now have November 4th and December 9th. Okay. All right.
And October 14th is canceled?
Yes. See, it all works out. All right. With that, I think we are adjourned. So.
Is this your first commission meeting as chairperson?
Well, last month was like